You're listening to Flip Empire, the show committed to helping real estate entrepreneurs who want to build their empire without sacrificing their life. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
On today's podcast episode, I am interviewing Mr. Matt Larson. We're going to talk about how to find, interview, hire, onboard, train, and manage the right virtual assistants. So my name is Alex Pardo. Welcome to episode 695. Now, guys, just a little bit of an introduction here. Matt Larson's got a pretty impressive resume and background, but long story short, he's been involved and completed over 4,000 real estate transactions. So the guy's been at this for about 17 years, and he's somebody who still actively runs and operates a successful wholesaling fix and flip operation, and he's become an expert. He's really dialed in the process of understanding where to find the right virtual assistants and how to set them up for success. On this particular podcast episode, we're going to talk about the mindset of a real estate investor, entrepreneur, and honestly, the mindset many times is what dooms people when it comes to hiring, training, and retaining virtual assistants. This is a topic and an area where we're going to dive deep on today's podcast episode. And again, Matt comes with a lot of experience. He's very active in the industry today, so he knows what's going on. But aside from that, some of his video trainings have reached hundreds of thousands of real estate investors. He's been on stage with the likes of Dean Graziosi, Tony Robbins. So the guy's a veteran and he's an expert. He's a thought leader in the space. And we're really going to focus all of our time, energy, and attention today to setting you up for success when it comes to virtual assistants. So whether you're somebody who's very experienced or you're just getting started, this episode is for you. So lean in, take notes, listen attentively, and let's dive into this episode with Matt Larson. Welcome, my friends. Alex Pardo here. Super pumped to bring you Matt Larson here on the podcast to dive into a topic that honestly, almost 700 episodes in, I've touched on it throughout episodes in the last several years, but I don't know that I've really, at least recently, dedicated a full episode to the topic of virtual assistants. Now, I want to encourage you that whether you're a veteran and you've done hundreds and hundreds of deals, or whether you're somebody who's just kind of on the newer side getting started, don't let the term virtual assistant tune you out to what Matt is going to share with you, because he's an absolute expert. He's got a ton of years, a lot of expertise and experience when it comes to not just operating and running a successful real estate business, but more importantly, he's an expert at understanding where to find the right virtual assistants. And I'm underscoring the right, that's the operative word. And honestly, this is a topic that a lot of people have requested in the past. People, in my experience, and I'm sure Matt can relate to this, really struggle. There's a lot of turnover when it comes to virtual assistants, and there's a lot of mistakes that real estate investors and entrepreneurs make. So this specific episode is really, I think, going to drive a lot of value when it comes to finding, hiring, training virtual assistants and setting them up for success. So with that being said, Matt, dude, I know you and I were in contact last year and we kind of kicked around the thought of having you in the show. So I'm glad you're here and it finally came to fruition.
Yeah, glad to be here. Always looking to add value wherever I can.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So I touched on your background and again, some of your expertise in the intro and what I just mentioned. So I want to kind of fast forward through all that, right? I feel like oftentimes in these podcast episodes, you spend quite a bit of time talking about the person's just background. And really what I want to do is just kind of dive right into it. So I want to kind of start 30, 40,000 foot view, and then I'll start to drill down into some more specific questions. But virtual assistants, What are some of the common mistakes, some of the pitfalls that you've seen even the most experienced successful real estate investors that you and I know and have relationships with? I mean, I've been a part of some pretty high level masterminds, and even those guys sometimes get tripped up with just a constant turnover and some of the headaches that come with managing virtual assistants. But let's take it a step back. What are some of the just overall mistakes you see investors make when it comes to finding, hiring, and training virtual assistants?
Yeah. So, you know, I think a lot, virtual assistants is a pretty popular thing in the real estate investing world. And a lot of people don't understand. I think people classify real estate or the virtual assistants as like a commodity. And really what it boils down to is they're a human being, right? And where most people mess up, there's a couple different big areas where most people mess up when it comes to virtual assistant. Number one being, they don't understand how to hire right? They don't really know how to hire. So the first one that comes along that's really cheap, if you really don't know what questions to ask and you really don't know a clearly defined path that you want this virtual assistant to do, and you're focused on price only, you will probably make a bad hire. You will waste a lot of time. You'll have a lot of frustration, and you'll probably chalk up the VA thing as a gimmick. Hey, everybody's talking about VAs, but it's just kind of a gimmick. I tried it. It didn't work. That exact thing happened to me a long, long time ago. I read the book, The 4-Hour Workweek, when it first came out in 2008 or whatever it was. Same. And yeah. He talked about virtual assistants. I'm a doer, man. I get an idea. I take action with it. I went out and really didn't know what I was going to have the virtual assistant do. Just thought, well, you know, it'll figure it out as I go. Yeah. Hired one, didn't know how to manage a person. I'd never hired a person before, so I didn't know how to manage. I really didn't even know how to interview. I didn't even know exactly what they would do. And then I didn't train them on what they would be doing. It was a failure right out of the gate. Now, here's the difference. Most people, when they make a bad hire, they don't know how to interview, they don't have clearly defined processes, they don't know how to train or onboard, they say virtual assistants don't work. Yeah. The problem is, it's not a virtual assistant problem. It's a you problem. You are the issue. Let me give you an analogy that I always use to help people understand that. Let's say you buy a brand new state-of-the-art Mac computer. You spend $3,000, $4,000 on this brand new Mac computer. Right? It's got every option. It's the fastest one. It's the best of the best of the best. If you hand that brand new Mac computer over to a computer programmer and say, hey, write me code on how to do XYZ. And the guy says, okay, no problem. I'll go write code. And this isn't a very good programmer. They don't really know kind of what they're doing. They write the code on the brand new Mac. They hit enter and the computer crashes and the program never runs. Is that a computer problem? Or is that a programmer problem?
Programmer.
That's bad code. That's a programmer problem. The laptop's fine. Same thing with virtual assistants. If you hire a VA, if you don't program them correctly, AKA, you have the right VA with the right experiences, with the right training, following the right processes, and you plug them in and they crash, that's not their problem. That's you.
Yeah.
So step one is clearly define, what are you going to have this VA do? Let me just give you a hint. They're better and faster than you. Here's how it should work. If you do a task, let's say you want to do cold calling. Okay. So you say, hey, I'm going to go find me a cold caller. I'm going to have him cold call. If you are a cold caller and you're cold calling, and you're like, man, I'm ready to hand this off. I'm going to find a VA. They're going to outperform you. They're going to do more cold calls. So step one is, you got to have about double as much work to do than if you were doing it than them. So if you hire a VA full time and they start working 9 to 5, whatever, and you only give them 4 hours of work, you're going to frustrate them. And they're going to be bugging you a lot on needing more to do. So step one is, they're going to do more than you think. Step two is, you've got to give them a good code. You've got to give them, what's good code? It's a good process. What's a process? It's a connecting the dots from point A to point Z on getting a task done. We create processes for everything, it doesn't matter if it's going to a VA or if it's going to an American. You need a good way for people to do this is, if they're not good at like writing out processes, is just turn their computer screen recording on. Let them record, follow along their cursor. If they're on a website, they can see, you can talk, it's recording your voice, it's recording your cursor movements. And worst case, build a process that way, at least explaining to these VAs exactly how it is they do their job. If they're cold calling, they got to know how to pull a list. They got to know how to skip trace that list. They got to know how to load that list into their dialer. They got to know how to operate their dialer. They got to have a script and know what to say when the phone rings. They got to know how to handle objections. They got to know how to enter the lead into the CRM. They got to know how to complete the whole process. And if you leave one thing out, it's bad code. That's it's right. Like missing a line in code and you hit the enter and the computer crashes. They can't predict what to do. So you've got to have good processes. So I say all that, Alex, because to answer your question, you got to hire the right VA and have a clearly defined task that they're going to do. You got to write processes and onboard them correctly, show them what to do.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a good result.
Yeah, man, there's so much to unpack there, and I want to add a little bit of color. But one of the things I want to acknowledge you for, Matt, because I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say it the way you said it, but you said something that kind of struck a chord with me. At the beginning of the show, you said people kind of treat virtual assistants like they're a commodity, and they're not. You said they're human, they're a person. And that's so true, man. I think it didn't really hit me until now, but because virtual assistants are considered quote unquote cheap or inexpensive labor, we kind of do toss it around like, hey, it's no big deal. Pay them $4, $5, $10 an hour, whatever, right? Like, and maybe that's part of the reason that people are experiencing so much turnover is that they're not actually treating them as if they were hiring an integrator or a COO for their business. Every hire is important. So kind of treat them the same. So I just wanted to like acknowledge you for that because I think you're dead on. And I don't know that I had ever really thought about it like that, right? That's number one. By the way, you and I had the same, we walked the same path as far as 4-hour work week. And then I still remember the website he recommended. I made that mistake, man. I hired somebody in India. I think I paid him $9 an hour. I had zero game plan, Matt. Like, I remember our first online meeting. I'm like, what now? Right? Like, help me figure this out. So we have alluded to the words, the right virtual assistant, right? What does that look like? What does the right virtual assistant look like for somebody watching or listening to this podcast and saying, how do I even know if I'm interviewing and if this is the right person?
So one place to start there is if you're going out and looking for talent, you're searching for your own talent and you're going to go out and source your own talent. Let me use the cold caller for an example. If I'm going to find a cold caller, then I'm probably going to look for somebody that's had cold calling experience, sure. Right? Here's the thing to understand. If you go out and look for a specific skill set, this holds true for VAs. It also holds true for Americans. Everybody just clicks the button and applies for every job, whether it makes sense or not. We don't hire very many Americans anymore. We hire all VAs because you get a better result for a cheaper price and it's more predictable. But in the cases that we do hire an American, it's the same deal. People apply for jobs they're not qualified for. So you have to be able to sort through hundreds, in a lot of cases, hundreds of resumes. So step one is, if you're going to hire a cold caller, for an example, Alex, I don't want to pretend like VAs are only good at cold calling because they are amazing at a lot of things. I have a lot of different companies and I have VAs run every aspect of every one of my companies. I'm using cold caller as an example because everybody understands that term. But if you have a cold caller that you're looking to hire and you go to Upwork.com, for an example, to look for a cold caller, you can place a resume there and people that don't have cold calling experience are going to apply.
That's right.
Your job is to sort through those people and look at their experience and understand if they actually, if this is something that they, I just need a job, or have they dealt with sellers that are going to scream at them? Are they okay? Can they handle being yelled at or cussed at because they're making cold calls, which is just part of the game in cold calling? Do they have the ability to overcome an objection when they call a seller and the seller says, I don't want to sell? Do they just hang up there? Do they overcome an objection, dig in a little further, find out what's going on? So that experience plays big. So if you want to skip the, hey, I don't know how to train somebody to become a cold caller, so I just want to find somebody that has cold calling experience, then dive deep with that. Make sure your ads that you place must have cold calling experience. That doesn't mean that every resume is going to come through like that, but that's your first sort. Okay, hey, I want somebody with 5 years experience cold calling. Get rid of all the resumes that doesn't have at least 5 years. Yeah. And then here's an idea. When you're dealing with VAs, you got to pay attention to the English, right? And cold calling especially because they're talking in American. If their English isn't very good, we've all taken those phone calls where you're on the phone and they sound so foreign, you just hang up, right? So pay attention. Imagine you're on the other end of this call. How would you react? If their English isn't stellar, then you're probably going to hang up. How many leads are you going to lose with those hangups? So again, I hate to say it, but you got to take your time with it and you've got to understand the reason why most VAs don't work out is because the upfront work wasn't done. They hired somebody that's not passionate about that thing. They hired somebody that doesn't have experience. They hired somebody that they didn't really know what they were in for. They're just looking for a job to find until they get to something else that they really like to do. if you interview a lot and you're very careful with how you're interviewing and very specific, you can find people. My very first VA I ever hired, her name's Daisy. Let's see, I hired her in 2015. It's been 8 years.
Wow.
She still works for me. So we had a lot of experience hiring people before I hired my first VA. We knew what to ask. We knew how thorough it had to be. You can't do one interview and call it good. You've got to do your work. Yeah.
Let me dive a little bit deeper, man, and I appreciate it because there's so much gold that you just shared there. One of the pain points I had when I was running the wholesaling operation here in South Florida and we were hiring a bunch of VAs is I quickly realized that like I didn't want to create a job for myself and having to review resumes that probably half the stuff is fluff anyway. And then when I finally built out a team, I had somebody else on my team reviewing resumes, but it was still pretty time consuming. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if you're of this school of thought or if you recommend a different process or structure, but we actually had them jump through a few hoops and actually required them to fulfill certain minor tasks, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. And we gave them very specific instructions and we would automatically discard like, so if we ask people, hey, reply back and put this in the subject line in this way, and they didn't do it, we just automatically discarded them. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was a mistake, but what we quickly found is that we went from hundreds of applicants to like, maybe I can count on two hands how many people actually like. Do you recommend something similar or do you have a different process?
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with doing that, having given them some work. Somebody doesn't follow directions, how are they going to do for you when you hire them, right? They're not going to follow directions. So I think that's a good idea. We actually go a step further. Okay. We hire people on a temporary basis. So when we hire somebody, we say, hey, we're going to give you a try for 2 weeks. So let me back up. So we've already done a lot of interviewing. We think we found the person. We checked their English. We checked their internet speed. That's important. You're dealing with VAs. They're in third world countries. A lot of times their internet speed is annoying if it's not strong enough. So we have a minimum Mbps that they have to hit in order to check the resume, check their internet, check their work history. We check their any other recordings. We actually have them record. So we get to hear their voice. So, hey, why do you want this job? Send us a video back explaining why you want this particular job. And then we get a chance to hear their voice. We get to see how they interact. We get to kind of feel out their mannerisms. And are they enthusiastic or are they very monotone? If you're monotone, how are you going to do on a phone if you're cold calling, right? So we do all those things. And once we've gone through all these people and we've narrowed it down, and again, I'm pretty extreme. I don't want to mess this up. I'd rather do a whole bunch of work up front and have the same VA work for me for a decade than speed through it and have somebody and have to go through and restart this process. Because when you onboard somebody, there's always a little bit of training that takes place there.
That's right.
That takes time. And when you go through that timing, that could be a month, it could be a couple of months there. And then all of a sudden, if they leave or you have to get rid of them, you start over. How much did that cost you?
A lot.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So once we figured out, we think we have the person, we went through all these VAs. I typically hire two for one position.
Okay.
So we hire two. We say, this is a temporary thing. In 2 weeks, you're either going to be promoted to full time or we're going to ask you to, we're just going to let you know you didn't make it. We hire two, we hire the best one. In some cases, if we got two rock stars, we hire them both.
Yeah.
Right. But for 2 weeks, you can do longer. You could do 30 days. That's not uncommon. You could do 60 days. You can get kind of decide. The better you are at hiring, the shorter the time you can give them.
Yeah.
But the VAs will take the chance. If you think that, oh man, I can't offer 30 days of trial basis, nobody will come to work for me. That's false. They will. And the people that are too afraid to compete a little bit, you don't want anyway.
Yeah.
That's so right. They should be a little competitive. But then you got a 30-day or 2 week or 30-day trial. They know they're showing up every day and today might be their last day.
Yeah, sink or swim.
Sink or swim. So now you've got this little trial basis. There's no hard feelings if they don't make it because you set that up as the expectation. Here's another thing is we record all calls. We go through a system called CallRail. We record all their calls. Mm-hmm. We listen to calls. So on my team, when we start somebody new, again, we have a big team. We have a big operation. So we have a lot of people. But I have two people on my team that's all they do is listen to recorded calls.
Yeah. I had a quality control person myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then you listen to recorded calls. You can tell right away the people that just like, man, there's just no enthusiasm or man, you don't know how to overcome objections. And hey, this is something that we talked about. when we interviewed you. So it's just not going to work out. But what we find is if you're not good at interviewing, you'll have a big turnover during the trial period.
Yeah.
If you're really good at interviewing and you're really good at sorting through the best of the best, you'll find that you end up hiring a good percentage of the people that go through the trial period. Right. And those people will tend to last a really long time.
Yeah, that's so true. And man, brother, interviewing is a skill like anything else, right? And what I have found is that most people haven't been properly trained or taken the time to figure out what are the right questions. And I find one mistake, just kind of as a tip for people listening, is don't hire somebody just because you like them, because that might not be the person that you need to hire. And we have people at the beginning, we used to run Colby and now we do Predictive Index, or there's Culture. There's all these different assessments out there that can really help you determine, am I hiring the right person or not? And you may or may not want to go through all those steps. But I think what Matt is sharing is so true. If you take your time up front, you avoid the pain headache of the turnover. And Matt, you said something that it costs you a lot of money. I know you'll agree with this. Not only does it cost you a lot of money, but think about the opportunity cost. Mm-hmm. Right? Think about the time and the energy. And yeah, you'll learn in the process, but avoid that up front. Man, we have listened to our quality control person has listened to calls and then has looped me in. And I'm sure you can attest to this, but we've heard some calls that it makes your skin crawl because you're just flushing quality leads down the toilet when they're not properly handled. So don't make the mistake that we made, which is, hey, hire somebody and then try to figure it out. Like, have a specific onboarding training systems, like have all that up front before you even hire someone. At least that's been my experience. I really appreciate you sharing that. One thing I forgot to mention, just to take a step or two back, you mentioned Upwork.com. What are some other websites that people listening, because I always get that question, like people are always, I think, looking for that silver bullet, right? Mm-hmm. But like, what are some common websites or places, resources that people can tap into to try to find quality VAs?
Yeah. So start out where what it is that you're looking for. Is the task that you want to get done, is it repetitive, ongoing, every day, or is it a one-time task? If it's a one-time task, like, hey, I just need this website built. Hey, I just need this one project done. Then go to Fiverr.
Yeah.
Fiverr.com. Fiverr.com. Go to Fiverr and you can just do a simple search to find what it is. You can hire people for one-off tasks. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to do if it's just a one-off thing. Now, I love Fiverr. We use it all the time. I have a huge staff of VAs and we still use Fiverr for one-off tasks, even to the point where my team is allowed to hire VAs to do their work if it's a one-off task. If we have a one-off thing, my team's already allowed, they can spend the money to go to Fiverr to do that one-off thing so that it's not on their plate. Because a lot of times we can't do it cheaper. If I have a VA making, say, $12 an hour, and I can get that task done for 20 bucks and it's 10-hour deal, it would take us 10 hours, it's better to pay somebody to go do that thing cheaper. So if it's a one-off task, 100% go to Fiverr. That's an awesome. In fact, everybody listening right now, spend some time, go to Fiverr, look around, do some searches. You can find some cool stuff.
Yeah.
If it's a repetitive task that you're going to hire for, that you want to bring somebody on to show up every day and work a certain amount of hours, there's two main sites that we would recommend. Upwork.com and onlinejobs.ph. Those are the two main ones. Now, imagine this. I'm going to tell you guys why I love these websites so much, like Upwork and Fiverr. Imagine you are going to hire an American and these people are coming to an office and everybody sends in their resume and you come and interview them. It's all BS. With what you see on their resume is typically a lot of fluff, right? But you can't do fluff on Fiverr or Upwork because they get a five-star review from people that already hired them. That's right. So if you search for a website builder on Fiverr and somebody says, man, I'm the greatest website builder of all time, but they have 2-star review, they're not a good website. But if they have 173 4.9 star review, they're good. You already know what you're going to get. Imagine if that was the truth with what we could do with Americans, it'd be amazing. Like, imagine if all employers were required to give a 5-star review of employee, you'd have a lot less problems in life. So Upwork is the same thing. You get to see their 5-star review and see how many people have graded them, what people have said about them. So that takes a lot of the guesswork out of it. I want everybody to understand something. If you hire a cold caller with 5 years experience and they have a perfect five-star review, that doesn't mean they're going to step into your business and you're going to go on vacation and, hey, let me know. I'll be on the beach in Florida sipping Mai Tais if you need me.
So
that's
true,
not man. How that works. Just because they did a cold calling for somebody else doesn't mean they're going to know how to do cold calling for you. There's a lot of different things. Maybe they were cold calling in the solar industry in your real estate. Maybe they were using a Mojo dialer and you're using call tools. Maybe your list company was XYZ list company and they used a different list company. There's a lot of variables. Maybe they had a different script. Maybe there's just a lot of different variables. If I take 100 wholesalers that I've coached, there's going to be 100 different ways to do wholesaling. Everybody has their own unique little thing. And if you have to remember that, you have to manage the people. You have to manage your VAs. And I'm going to give you guys a little secret on how I do it. And this really works really well. We do two things that help us manage the VAs. This will help you still manage them. You still have to do it, but it's a lot less time. There's two things that we do. One, we require start of day reports and end of day reports by every VA. So when they clock in, their first thing they do is send an email. It's SOD, start of the date in the subject line. And then you open the email. Here's what I'm going to do for the day. If your VA doesn't understand what they have to do for the day, you've already lost.
Such a good tip.
They should have a list of here's what I'm going to accomplish today. And then at the end of their shift, they have an EOD. Here's the date in the subject line. Here's what I accomplished today. Boom, boom, line, line, line. This is all the things that I accomplished today. That's one thing. If you can just start a day report and end a day report, understand what you're reading and understand how to manage the VA from there and fix issues if you see something wrong. For example, let's say somebody was doing cold calling and they worked for 8 hours and they dialed 100 dials and they got zero leads. Like, that's a problem. Like, those are bad KPIs. Right. They should be able to make more cold calls than that. So there's something wrong. So you'd want to ask questions like, hey, what happened? Why you should be getting $500 a day? Like, what's going on there? That's one thing, is start a day, end a day reports. Super important. Second thing is use a service like Hubstaff.com to manage your VA's time. So that's basically a time clock system. It takes screenshots of their screen. Believe it or not, guys, I just want to let you know, there's VAs out there. They're working third shift and a lot of them are tired.
Yeah.
This isn't all the case. All my VAs are mostly Philippines and I've done very well with it and they work third shift. Some people are night people, but some people aren't, and they'll fall asleep during their shift because they're tired. They're trying to stay up all day and all night. That just doesn't work. You're going to get bad quality. So this Hubstaff takes screenshots of their screen and you'll know if they're not working. Their start of day and a day report should show a lot, but if you question like, man, I don't, this guy just didn't get anything done. I better go look at his Hubstaff. Wait a minute. He was searching Facebook when he should have been making phone calls. It gives you an efficiency report on what their productivity was on a percentage basis.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So those are two things that we do to help manage, and it's cheap. Well, start a day, end of day reports doesn't cost anything. Send an email, but Hubstaff is like 10 bucks, 15 bucks a month or something. It's worth it.
That's pretty cool. I've heard of others, but I wasn't familiar with Hubstaff. And guys, even if you don't take the time to like actually monitor and check it, because obviously that's not probably the highest and best use of your time, or maybe you haven't built out a team or you have somebody that can manage them, just that accountability tool and the virtual assistant knowing that they're on Hubstaff, probably more times than not, if you did a good job on the interview process and you found the right person, more times than not, I would think that accountability tool can kind of keep them on track. Let me ask you a couple of things. I want to speak specifically to the mindset of those listening as it relates to hiring virtual assistants. I have found, and I'm sure Matt, with a lot of the people that you've worked with and coach, people don't always look for the cheapest virtual assistant possible. Talk a little bit about compensation, pay. Now, obviously, there's a lot of variables, like what are you hiring them for, which you've already alluded to. But just generally speaking, talk about what's the average compensation for a lot of the VAs you've hired. And then just specifically your thoughts on the mindset as it relates to always trying to nickel and dime versus paying for quality virtual assistants.
Yeah, so this is such a great question, because everybody thinks, you always hear, man, I got a VA for $3 an hour. I'm telling you guys, I have a couple hundred VAs that work for me. Not one of them makes $3 an hour. My goal is not to find the cheapest VAs. Yeah, but Matt, you're saving all this money. Like, no, you're really not. Take yourself, for example. Take yourself in the last job you worked for. Did you ask for high pay or did you ask for minimum wage? And if you asked for minimum wage, why? Why? Because you didn't have any experience and you didn't deserve any more? I'm not looking for minimum wage VAs. I'm looking for people that are really good, that are problem solvers, that can step into my business with a little bit of training. They've got the experience to justify me paying them more, and they're rock stars. They step in, they make me money. That's all I care about. If I hire somebody for $3 an hour, are they going to make me money? If I hire somebody for $6 or $7 or $8 an hour, they might make me 10 times that. $3 an hour might cost me money. So right. I don't hire minimum wage VAs. I'm not looking for $3 an hour. In fact, if somebody were to come to work for three, I'd probably not hire them because they don't have the confidence that comes with that to know that they'll do a good job.
Yeah.
So I basically don't hire anybody for less than that $6 an hour range. And we have a lot of VAs in that $10 to $15 an hour range. And let me tell you, the quality you get in that range, you get the best ones. So you want the best people working for you, or do you want below average working for you? You make the call. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter what you pay for somebody. It's a matter of what they produce.
Yeah.
And right. If you hire a $5 an hour, or let me just use this example. Let's say you've got a $3 an hour, $4 an hour VA doing cold calling. And that $4 an hour VA, let's use four, for example, because I hear that number a lot. Four that works 8 hours. That's 8 hours times $4 an hour is $32. And they get you one lead. What's your cost per lead? It's $32, right? Yep. Now, let's say you get somebody for $7 an hour. Let's call it eight. Let's double it. They are $8 an hour. They work for 8 hours. That's $64, but they got you five leads. Who's more expensive?
The cheapest one is more expensive.
They're at $32 a lead. And the guy that got five leads, five divided by 64 divided by five is less than a third of that.
Yeah.
They're at like $10, $12 a lead, right? They're a third of what the other one was. So less is not better.
Yeah. I wasn't sure what your answer was, but I knew you and I were going to be tracking the same way. Less is not always better. And not just that, man, not just is that cheaper VA actually costing you more and more expensive. My experience, they're also probably more challenging to manage. And then you're the one that feels like you have to hold them accountable, where someone told me something years ago that always stuck with me is, if you want accountable team members, hire people that are going to hold themselves accountable, because they have that pride in their work and they want the output. I'm really happy to hear you say that. I want to shift a little bit to, what are some of the pain points that you've seen when it comes to technology, right? Like, maybe not as much as you, Matt, but I've had quite a few Filipino VAs, which I just had a lot of success with Filipino VAs. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that tends to happen more times than not, no matter how good they are, is they have a lot of power outages out there. Mm-hmm. I've had issues where one of my best VAs went missing for weeks, where I literally was concerned for her. Like, I thought, did something happen to her? Did she get an accident? Did she pass away? Because this person was so on task. And for weeks, I didn't hear from her. Have you experienced that? And what are some of the ways to kind of manage that? Or is that just kind of par for the course?
No, it does. Okay, so first of all, it's a tropical environment. You have tropical storms. There are a lot of storms over there at certain times of the year. So you are going to have typhoons and hurricanes and stuff like that. They're going to get downpours. Here's one thing that when we started seeing a lot of power outages and a lot of problems, we started requiring the right equipment. So not only do you have to have a certain speed of internet, you have to have a certain headset. We kind of lay out, hey, if you want to work for us, we're willing to pay you more than everybody else, but this is kind of what we want in return. You got to have this internet. You got to have this quality headset, so you sound really clear. We don't want any muffled or crackling noises in the background, but we also want you to have a backup generator, because we understand that you're going to go through some power outages. So you have to have a specific backup generator. It's not that much money to get, but it'll get them through those power outages. So you can kind of decide, and you'll find out a lot of the really good ones already have that stuff. And if they want the job, they'll go get it. If their normal pay is $4 an hour and you're offering $6 or $7, they'll go buy the proper equipment to get that job. Let me just tell you, the Filipinos are very loyal people. They're very hardworking. That doesn't mean all of them are loyal. That doesn't mean all of them are hardworking.
Generally speaking.
Yeah. But generally speaking, they don't want to job hop. They want to come to work for you and they want to work. I use it like this. The Filipinos of today are the 1950s Americans. Mm. They want to get a job and they want to retire with you. So they want to work for you for a really long time. I just don't have a lot of BAs quitting. I just don't have that happen to me because we treat them right. We're polite to them. We're stern, but polite. Most of them are pretty religious. They don't like being talked badly to. They like to be respected, but they'll work very hard for you. So you treat them right. You pay them well, and they want to work hard for you, and they want to work for you for a really long time, maybe forever. And like I said, my very first VA, Daisy, she's been with me 8 years. Daisy will be with me until I'm 75 or whatever it is.
Incredible.
And she makes, you know, Daisy, for example, when I hired her 8 years ago, I hired her at $2 an hour, not really knowing what I was, but keep in mind, then $2 an hour was more than it is now. Now she makes $12 or $13 an hour. You guys have to understand that's rich.
Yeah.
That is rich. I'm friends with her on Facebook. I've never met her in person. She lives in a nice house. Her kids get the full-size Transformers for their birthday parties, and they do it right. She eats good food. She lives good. That's another thing I want to address real quick. For some people don't realize, man, you guys are just taking advantage. You're paying them $3 or $4 or $5, $6 an hour. Guys, minimum wage over there is very low. Cost of living. You can go, a family of five can go out to eat for $5 at a nice restaurant. So you got to understand their cost of living is very, very low. It's a fraction of what it is in the US. So really good money over there is $6, $7 an hour. Yeah. You get to somebody's making 10, they're living big. You have to understand that it's not the same. It would be like $10 an hour over there would be like somebody over here making $50 an hour.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, that's such a good point, man. I'm glad you brought that up. Man, as we start to kind of wind down the show here, I mean, guys, a lot of what Matt has shared, if you just take one of those nuggets, whether it's the start of day and end of day report or just the onboarding process, having systems and processes beforehand, I mean, there's a lot of nuggets that he shared. So if you could just focus on one or two of those and implement them in your business, if you're not already, I think you'll see it can have a massive impact on your business and on the longevity. That's really what we're talking about here is you want to have the long-term mindset where you're hiring team members that hopefully can grow with you and your business. But I want to talk, you have a company called Rapid Assistance, right? Mm-hmm. And guys, just to be totally transparent, as always on this show, I do have an affiliate link. Matt and I have worked something out. So if you guys check out flipempire.com/rapidVA, there's going to be some of you that are listening and saying, hey, I know I can go do this. It's not rocket science. Matt has already basically laid out the blueprint. Has even told you where to go, whether it's Fiverr, Upwork, or onlinejobs.ph. I mean, you guys have all the resources. You can certainly figure it out. Some of you might be at a place where you don't want to spend the time and you rather focus on other areas. Matt's got a company that I don't want to say done for you. Matt can probably do a better job of explaining it, but I've heard throughout the last year or so, a lot of really good stories about people using Matt's company and their virtual assistants. So Matt, talk a little bit, man, on these podcasts. We never want to pitch anybody if it makes sense for you and you guys want to check it out. But talk just a little bit about what you guys have built and essentially who this is for.
Yeah, so I've just been using VAs for a really long time. We got really good at hiring our own. And like any good entrepreneur, I had a question one time. Somebody said, Matt, you've kind of got it figured out. I could go out and do it and trial and error it, and I'm sure I'd get it right over time. Can I just hire one of your VAs? And we didn't have a VA service back then. We were just hiring them, using them ourselves. And so I went back to my team and just said, hey, do you think we could maybe find and train and hire a VA for somebody else? And we put our heads together and kind of figured it out. That was like about 2.5-3 years ago. And we found out that there was a need in the market. The people just kind of wanted the easy button. Hey, yes, I could do this myself 100%. I just don't have the time or experience. I don't want to do the trial and error and maybe get it wrong. So what we did was we used my wholesaling team to do the finding and training. If you decide to get one of our VAs, we don't just go search the internet and online jobs, PH and Upwork and just find somebody with experience. We find somebody with experience and then bring them in-house and then have them go through training we created through my own wholesaling team. They have to pass all the testing that we created. And then at the end, so there we're recording all their call. Everything I just told you that we do for our clients too. So we hire them, we put them on a temporary basis. We record all their calls. We listen to those calls. We spend a lot of money on these VAs. We're pulling lists. We're skip tracing. We're paying people to listen to calls. Plus, we're paying the VAs just to see if they're going to qualify to be able to place. And we're kind of like the Navy SEALs. Lots of people enter. Very few people make it. We don't want to just throw it at the wall, see what sticks. But the people that do make it, we place with other people. So if you are looking for somebody else to do it for you, we have that service. Now, again, guys, I'm not somebody that my primary business is wholesaling. I'm a wholesaling company that uses my own VAs for my own business, right. Not a VA business trying to just place VAs. We're our own customer. And that makes a big difference. And that's why we've got the reputation. We've been so good at this stuff because they're going through the training that we created. They understand all of this stuff. So that's kind of what we built, Alex. I'm not like a heavy pitcher kind of guy. I just know what we've created. I know how good it is and we offer it to people. And if they want the easy button, great. If they want to just go do it themselves, 100% they can.
That was the idea, man. I appreciate that. We wanted to deliver content on this specific show that could help, you know, probably 90, 95% of people that just rather do it themselves. And that's perfectly fine. But for the percentage of people that don't, check out flipempire.com/rapidVA. So Matt, man, I really appreciate just everything you've shared, brother. Again, I'm glad you and I know we spoke last year and we're able to get you on the show, man. And I know you and I will continue to build the relationship. We got a lot of mutual friends in the industry. So as with any great business, you had a problem or there was a challenge in your business, you found the solution. You've kind of perfected and dialed in the system. And then now you've kind of packaged this up as a service for other investors that are taking advantage. So I think it's really cool, man, and wanted to share that with the audience here. So, man, any parting thoughts or words or just anything else you want to share before we wrap this up?
I would just tell people, listen, it can be daunting hiring a VA, but man, it's freedom. As long as you're trading your time for money, you'll never have both. If you can find a VA and offload a few tasks, start slow and then offload more and more, eventually you can really have a lot more freedom of your time and you can go do the tasks that pay a higher dollars amount and let a VA do the lower dollar an hour stuff.
That's great, man. Absolutely love it. Thank you, my man. Guys, I so appreciate you. This show would not exist. We're coming up on 7-year anniversary of the Flip Empire show and almost 700 episodes. And that wouldn't be possible without you tuning in. And the only way really that I ask you to repay me is to just implement something you've learned in this podcast. And then I'd love to hear about it. Reach out to myself or Matt on social media. Let us know how this show may have impacted you or how it's helped you. If there's anything I can do, you guys know where to reach me. Reach out because that's the reason I'm here is to try to impact and help you guys in your business and in your life. So with that being said, Matt, have an amazing day. And guys, I will connect with you on the next one. Take care.
Thank you.
One last thing before you go. If you have been listening to the show for a while and or you have been getting value from the show, I would be 100% honored if you would share this show with a friend. Or maybe share it with somebody that you think could benefit from this. It's my mission, it's my cause, it's my purpose through Flip Empire to impact and touch people's lives and in their businesses. So it would be an honor if you would be willing to share this episode. And one last thing, make sure that you're subscribed so that you get notified every Monday and Thursday when shows get released. I look forward to connecting with you on the next one. Until then, have a great day.